Zimbabwe and welcome to Live Talk. We're coming to you live from Studio 7 at the Voice of America in Washington, and I'm your host, Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. Today on Live Talk, we're looking at the continued recall of council members of the opposition CCC by one Sebenzo Shabangu, who says he's the secretary general of the party despite the party disclaiming him. We'll also be looking at the abduction and murder of CCC activist Tafumane Masaya. The late Masaya's family says his body went for a post-mortem and also DNA test, but they are still to determine when his funeral will be held. Rights groups including Human Rights Watch, Amnesty International and Southern African Rights Defenders Network, the United States and UK embassies in Harare have condemned the abduction and death of the late Masaya, calling for full investigations on the matter. But first, let us take a look at what is happening here in the United States, where U.S. President Joe Biden met with Chinese President Xi Jinping on Wednesday. Outside of San Francisco, where leaders of Asia-Pacific economies are gathering. Biden, who said he still sees the Chinese leader as a dictator, quote-unquote, said the two agreed to reestablish military communications, work together to access the threats posed by artificial intelligence, and take meaningful steps to combat the scourge of fentanyl. VOA's Anita Powell reports from Woodside, California.
A historic meeting of East and West after 12 months of intense drama and diplomacy between Beijing and Washington. The White House chose this venue outside of San Francisco for this symbolic visit, covering a range of key issues, including Taiwan, the self-governing island that China claims, the resumption of military communications, touchy trade agreements, the origination of fentanyl ingredients in China, and human rights issues. Biden said he was candid on those tough issues. She said the two nations are inextricably linked.
For two large countries like China and the United States, turning their back on each other is not an option. It is unrealistic for one side to remodel the other, and conflict and confrontation has unbearable consequences for both sides.
So did the presidents of the world's two most powerful nations manage to paper over the cracks in their relationship? Biden spoke to the press afterward. She, as is his habit, did not.
I welcome the positive steps we've taken today. And it's important for the world to see that we're implementing the approach in the best traditions of American diplomacy. We're talking to our competitors and the key and just talking, being blunt with one another so there's no misunderstanding as a key element to maintaining global stability and delivering for the American people.
But in response to a shouted question, he reiterated a stance that is likely to upset Beijing, that he believes Xi is a dictator.
Well, look, he is. I mean, he's a dictator in the States.
Many watching this meeting said they weren't expecting major results, but are glad the two are talking.
This engagement, for example, between President Biden and Xi Jinping, to me, it is critical because it should give a clear message that we are here to be able to work together and trust each other to resolve serious problems, climate, issues in Ukraine or Gaza. There are too many contentious issues in the world, and you must try and engage.
Analysts say the success of the Summit of Asia-Pacific Economies, happening simultaneously in San Francisco, depends on the world's two largest economies getting along.
Well, I think it's an important meeting between President Biden and President Xi, with the primary goal of stabilizing the relationship heading into 2024. I think both for bilateral purposes, but also very importantly for the broader APEC region. The countries there, the economies there, want the U.S. and China to have some kind of modus vivendi, some kind of stable relationship, particularly in anticipation of Taiwan's election in January, the U.S. election in November.
Biden said he and Xi will continue to communicate and cooperate. The world, he said, expects it. Anita Powell, VOA News, Woodside, California.
We also take you to the Middle East, where the families of the nearly 240 hostages Hamas is believed to be holding in Gaza have begun a five-day march from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. They say they want the government to do more to win the freedom of their loved ones. Linda Glenstein reports from Tel Aviv.
It has been weeks of agony for the families of the hostages, weeks with no news about whether their loved ones are alive. Now they are marching to Jerusalem. Yuval Aran survived the massacre at Kibbutz Be'eri, but seven members of his family, including three children, were taken hostage by Hamas.
I always worry. I'm always in pain, and I can't sit at home anymore. I have to do something, and this march is what I am going to do with all the families of the hostages and this entire country.
Shaul Levy's granddaughter, Na'ama, was seen being kidnapped in one of the first videos posted by Hamas on social media networks. Levy says he is marching to deliver a message to the government.
We start here in this museum, Tel Aviv, walking to Jerusalem, hoping to meet the government, hoping the prime minister, to emphasize that there is no any alternative, only to bring them all back home.
The Hostage and Missing Families Forum advocacy group has demanded urgent attention be paid to the needs of more than 30 children taken hostage without their parents. They believe that one woman may even have given birth in captivity.
I am demanding from Benjamin Netanyahu and from all the cabinet to give us answers and deeds. We have no strength anymore. Bring back our children and bring our families home.
Israel believes that Hamas and Islamic Jihad are holding hostages in tunnels below buildings in Gaza, including hospitals, accusations Hamas and hospital officials deny. Israel's army spokesman shows a tunnel leading to what he says is a maze of underground rooms below the Rantisi Children's Hospital in northern Gaza.
You're now entering into the room where we suspect the hostages were being held. I want you to look at this room. People are putting curtains with nothing above, just wall. No reason to put here a curtain unless you want to film hostages and deliver movies.
The U.S.-designated terrorist groups Hamas and Islamic Jihad have posted videos on their social media channels of hostages making statements which Israeli analysts believe are coerced. A new video post shows a Hamas spokesman saying that the group is willing to release up to 70 hostages, apparently women, children, and the elderly, in exchange for a five-day ceasefire and the release of women and minors serving time in Israeli jails.
The truce should include a ceasefire and allowing aid relief, everything in Gaza Strip. But the enemy is procrastinating and evading to pay the price of the deal.
Israeli officials say they worry that a five-day ceasefire will allow Hamas to rearm and continue to fight Israel. They also say there will be heavy international pressure to continue the ceasefire. The families of the hostages worry that time is running out for their loved ones, and they say they hope that their march will continue to focus Israeli and world attention on the plight of the hostages and intensify efforts to secure their release. Linda Gradstein, VOA News, Tel Aviv.
Some Harare councillors who are members of the CCC received their recall letters today after attending the special council meeting on cholera. Harare Mayor Ian Makone has declared cholera a state of emergency as cases continue to rise. Reacting to his recall letter, CCC Councillor Denford Ngadziwore said the recalls would derail council work. He speaks to Studio 7's Rutendo Mawere on the issue.
By-election after 2 years during COVID. This year, instead of serving 5 years, and I serve 2 months, but As for me, I have a chairperson of the committee SMEs. I have a vision. I'm supposed to implement SMS policy as a chairperson. So, Jagalaro, you don't get master, answer my shoe. Because Nano Kera Vision, the committee, the chair, Mayor Nano Kera Vision, the council. So, Vision, each other, each other, and the other side. But we shall lay as Mama Comrade, I'm committed. We won't wait to say, Basal Kanzu, Bender and Berry. We are teaching majority to Nom Kanzu, Shetta Mixhop to Basala Famba, that's no problem.
Mazvitambira sei tichitarisira kuti pane mutongo interdict order yeku High Court iri kumisa kurimarikos arbitral.
Ichokwadi interdict iripo yakatoitwa but munoziva kuti vanhu avatezi mutemo mutema aonei nawo vanotouchora vakatarisa but isusu tiri kuti isusu solution mostly lies in politics. So try to make sure that there is enough political pressure to deal nenyaya iyoyi but kulegal vachaenda futi ikoko kuti zvidini kuti zvifambe.
That there was Triple C Councillor Danford Ngadziwore speaking to Studio 7's Rutendo Mawere. Please stay tuned as we take a brief break.
In times of change, when the world seems uncertain, and what we hear doesn't reflect what we see, we seek the truth. When we are told only part of the story, we lose trust. In moments of crisis, our dreams, hopes, and wishes for a better tomorrow depend on a free press. At Voice of America, we bring you the stories that people take risks to see. We connect the world and unite it with truth. At Voice of America, we show you the whole picture.
For those that have just joined us, please note that we are streaming live on all our Facebook pages, VOA Shona, VOA Studio 7, and VOA Ndebele. We're also live on YouTube at VOA Zimbabwe. And today we're discussing about the further recall of Triple C councillors and the abduction and murder of opposition activist Tafumane Masaya. To discuss this issue, we are joined by Wilbert Mandinde, the acting director of the Zimbabwe Human Rights NGO Forum, and Owen Chari, a Zimbabwean based in the United States, who was once abducted for his political beliefs. And he'll be joining us via Skype. Welcome to the program, gentlemen.
Welcome, viewers.
Thank you and good evening. Have a good evening, listeners.
Thank you so much. I'll start off with you, Mr. Owen Chari. You are now based here in the United States, but you say that you were once abducted. Please take us through what happened to you.
My name is Owen Chari, and I've been on the trenches since 1999. I've been fighting for the betterment of Zimbabweans. Since then, I never stopped. And then in 2019 January, after the 14th of January, there was a fuel hike, and we took it to the street as citizens. And then state security agents came to abduct me. For a number of days, they were looking for me, and they couldn't find me. And people remember that when, after the food riots and there was demonstrations, or after the fuel demonstrations, all the men and boys of Mavuku Tefara, they slept in the bushes. So I was one of those people who were sleeping in the bushes, and they were looking for us in our houses, and they could not find us. After 2 days, my two boys, Bowen and Rowan, who are now 24, my first born children, they decided to go home. When they went home, they were kidnapped. So they used my son's phone to call me, and they said, if you don't reveal yourself, we are going to kill your sons. And then I was left with no choice, but I had to give up myself to the security agent who came with the Fortuner, and they bundled me in their vehicle. They were all armed with AK-47. I can refer you to my ordeal, which is there on every media, what happened. So they went with me. They were promising to inject me with injections, and they were threatening me with all sorts of threats. They started torturing me from 8:30 p.m. until around 2:30 a.m. That's when they left me. And the next morning, I went to Mandara after they left me for dead. I was blood everywhere. I still have the t-shirt with blood. So thereafter, people were being abducted. And Barakachi were just going around saying people, they do lie that ZANU-PF abduct people. And I always argue with them and I challenge them. I am a survivor of abduction. Definitely ZANU-PF do abduct people and they kill people. I want to speak specifically in Mavuku. We are so unfortunate in Mavuku that Mavuku is the target of a slaughtering ground of ZANU-PF.
But if I may just come in there, Mr. Chari, why is Mavuku a target area? Because we see also this current activist from the CCC who was abducted and then subsequently murdered is from the same place, or he was campaigning in the same place.
Right. You know, Mavuku is the strongest constituent of opposition in Harare. If I want to take you back, it is Mavuku which have pointed the direction of the opposition polity, because it has never budged, it has never voted for ZANU-PF. Even if they bring a lot of money, but they've never won. I want to remind you of one chairman of mineral marketing, Masimire Mbwa. He invested a lot of money, millions, in Mavuku. But when it comes to elections, they never won. Then we have another, this God mafia guy, Scott Sampanya, who also invested a lot of money trying to buy the citizens, buying voting from Mavuku. But Mavuku people, they are so clever and they are wise. They know what they are doing. They don't vote for ZANU-PF. They want change regardless of how much is put there. Therefore, it frustrates the ruling party, which I want to call a terrorist party, because if you are a government, you don't become an enemy to the citizens. You don't kill your citizens, like what they're doing in Mavuku. We have a number of people who have been killed in Mavuku. Myself, I'm not the first one who was abducted and left for dead. I have my predecessors who were even killed. We have Chondra Ndira who was killed and he was abducted the same way I was abducted. Chondra Ndira was in the security of opposition, and I happened to occupy the security office of MDC then. And they abducted me, and they thought I was dead. Right now, as I'm living on a borrowed life. But actually, ZANU-PF, they wanted to kill me. That time.
Please stay on the line. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Mr. Chari. Let's now hear from Mr. Mandinde. Mr. Mandinde, your organization deals with human rights violations. What's your say on what we're seeing happening in Zimbabwe?
The situation that we have in Zimbabwe at the moment is extremely worrying. We find ourselves in a situation in which ordinarily we want to say we are during the post-election phase. And during a post-election phase, normally things which were happening before and during the election, they don't stop happening. People look forward to the next election, are hopeful maybe that the next election they had lost, that they will possibly win. Those that had won will possibly also be working towards winning again. But what we are seeing at the moment is this uncertainty of the election fever continuing. The recall that now caused this particular aspect of abduction that we are seeing. But we started seeing this abduction a few days after elections. We found any calls have been done. Obviously, we believe that campaigning in some of the areas might have exacerbated the issue of this abduction that we see. We also see the underhand role of some forces that we really are not sure of where they come from, but obviously you want to believe, especially when you take into account the abduction of or near abduction of Councillor Honorable Ngadiwa, where there are photos of people who were alleged to have been behind the abduction. We had the police then say that there was no police report. And you wonder where the police will then wait for a report to come to them in situations in which a serious offense is suspected that they will say to have happened. So we are seeing a trend on these issues and continuing to worry, especially in view now of the upcoming by-elections in December. We have had further calls, and we are concerned that if this is the trend to go by, then no one is safe in Zimbabwe at the moment. But also worrying is the issue that the state has a responsibility to protect the responsibility to ensure that us as Zimbabweans are safe. And therefore, each and every time there's an allegation or statement regarding aspect of abduction, the state is quick to deny the existence of such. The state says it's not true. The state is even going to the extent of saying that these are self-abduction. And now when we have someone who has passed away, like Mr. Masaya, you then wonder whether the state will also say that you are suicide, did you himself, or did you by his own political party, or what? At the moment, we have the vision by the Deputy Chief Secretary, the Office of the President, Cabinet, to say that a corpse was stolen from the mortuary, and therefore, and that the opposition is claiming that particular corpse. We are not sure if police have such a report of a corpse. We are not clear. We haven't come across any family at the moment which is alleging that they cannot find their relatives from the war or among other things. So we want the state to be able to investigate any such cases without them looking at where it happened. I mean, we want the police to be professional. Even then, in which they run with this investigation, it certainly cannot be a one-sided story, and it certainly cannot be an issue which is treated as a political issue. Certainly, this is a criminal offense. This is an offense in international law, and there's no need for the police to treat it as such. But we also would want to hear the voice of the highest office in the country to condemn in no uncertain terms some of these things. One of the worrying trends we noted during elections was what I would call a situation where our president was indicating right and turning left. It's all political realms. The president would speak peace and would speak against political violence. And when they are in the international observers, you would actually turn to English and speak in English that would condemn political violence. Mm-hmm. But you are saying that.
Mr. Makinde, please hold on. We have a caller on the line. Hello, caller Makadi.
Ripo Makadi, am I?
I want to report to you. Nani murukupi caller?
Murugara na sima bara ndriku Botswana.
Chaurai tinswe murukunzwa iri mudandaroi.
Da inzwa ndanzwa kibimbu zitoma.
Ehe, chaurai enyu fungwa dzenyu pane zviri kuitika munyika pare zvino.
Yeah, in fact, I was a little bit of a Zakanaka, and it was a teacher's period could be Urumende, Yamananga, Ba, Iteba, Sagajinji, Kunaye, opposition, Zarkuita, Zema collapse, Yavishan Samurman, Chabangu. And Kinsokutanga, Taiwari, Wari, Urumende, Sokwari, Sukwatamudenda, Waifa, Nakutanga, Waita, verification. What is this? The Chokwadi Ere, Wachabangu, Nengo, ACCC, Ari Secretary, Indirect Secretary, the Chokwadi Ere. The series of Munu one, because in Sangano, they were one who say, but the series of Munu one. After that, it's in a Muniri opposition, ari anomirira ma MPA pozvino arimo aende ndiye munhu aifanha kutenda kuti sure vanhu vavadzingwa sezvakaitwa before vatangira vakazviita vachidzinga dzimwe mhengo ende zvikakonfemwa nemumiriri weopposition anga ari muparliament saka izvi zviri kuitwa nemunhu one hakuna ari even the opposition president vachamisa havazvizive isu wacho masupporters also havazvizive chinhu ichocho chinhu chakaitisisa ende zvaburisa pachena huipi hwezanupf
aiwa tinotenda muve nezuva rakanaka kwamuri ikoko tombodzoka coming back to you Mr. Chari on Skype ndombobvunza kuti pari zvino munoona kunge zvichafamba sei munyika muchitariso imi zvamakawanikwa muchitarisana nazvo panyaya yekupambwa iko
kupambwa kuri kuitwa vanhu muZimbabwe kana vamunangagwa vachiri pachigaro zvechisimba zvavari hakusi kuzopera kumabhuku izvozvizvi honorable James Chidhakwa akatorwa akapambwa zvekare akapondwa-pondwa akachekwa-chekwa bvudzi havasi kuzomira kuedza kuti vanhu vasamire nezvido zvavo nekuda kuitwa munangagwa vanoda kuramba vari pachisimba zvine chisimba ndosaka muri kuona zviri kuitika izvi zviri kuramba zvichiitika zvichapararira nenyika yese kune munhu kune avo vana vezimbabwe vanosumudza musoro vachange vachiswanywa nechisimba chavamunangagwa nekuda kuedza kuti vanhu vasataure asi hazvigoni kuti vana vezimbabwe varambe vakanyarara vachidzvinyirirwa ndo zvaita kuti madzibaba vedu nevakoma vedu vaende kuhondo nguva yasmith nekuti kwaiva neudzvinyiriri udzvinyiriri hwenguva yasmith ndo hwatikuona nanhasi muzimbabwe muzimbabwe mamiriro akaita zvinhu zvakaoma hakuna mvura hakuna mishonga muzvipatara hakuna zvikoro zviri kuitwa saka tina kuda kwaizvozvozvo vanhu havanyarari vanhu vakasanyararawo kupambwa kwevanhu kucharamba kuchiitika kucharamba kutenderera mberi asi chandoda kutaura ndechekuti vanhu vaviri vana vashanu vanopambwa vanourayiwa vanopondwa pondwa hazvisizvo zvinoita kuti vanhu vanyarare izvezvi zvini ndakapondwa pondwa 2019 asi vamwe vakasarazve vachisimudzira kurwa ikoko tina vakoma vedu vemusago vakaita sana mukoma tonderai ndira vakatotisiya vana bheta vakatisiya vana Isaac Matongo vese vavakatisiya asi kurwa hakuna kumira kurwa kuna kutendera mberi saka zvisaramba zvichiitika kusvika taona rusununguko vakauraya Owen Chari nhasi vana Owen Chari vakawanda vachaberekwa kumberi
Thank you chaizvo vachari regai timbonzwa kubva kuna vamandinde Mr. Mandinde so what have you done have you engaged the police have you written to anybody because we saw many rights groups throughout the world condemning what we're seeing happening in terms of abductions and deaths Mr. Mandinde if you're on
Thank you Madela As in Zimbabwe Human Rights NGO Forum, we are in a debate organization of 21 organizations. So we are equally concerned about this, and we have also issued our own statement to condemn in no uncertain terms the continued abduction of people, especially because of different beliefs. Today, 60% of Zimbabwe is a day which internationally recognized as the International Day of Tolerance. And when you are speaking about tolerance, we always believe...
Mr. Mandinde, I think we'll have to have this conversation again. I will call you back because we are going to be featuring this conversation this week. That brings us to the end of our show. Signing off in Washington, I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye.